Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Joined by Lance Meadow, I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. Give us a call, or if you want to talk to us on Twitter, it's hashtag GiantsChat. We will be monitoring that throughout the program. Of course, the Giants getting ready to play the Washington Redskins off of their bye week. And Lance, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I want to really focus in on it now, because we're getting to Wednesday when you really start preparing. Tom will have his press conference tomorrow. Practice really begins in earnest to get ready for the Redskins. But if you take a look at the rest of this season, the importance of this Redskin game cannot be underestimated. The Eagle game, which is the final game of the season, might end up being more critical only because it could be a win-and-you're-in type of game against an NFC East foe. However, given Sam Bradford's out, the Eagles have lost two in a row. Maybe they're out of the picture that final week. This could very well be the most important game the Giants play the rest of this season. They need to beat Washington to continue to be in the driver's seat, to control their own destiny, to win the NFC East.
Yeah, Washington could be the main competition, as you just laid out, John, given the fact that Philadelphia is coming off a very bad performance against Tampa Bay. They got New England on the horizon, which is not going to be an easy task. And Washington has four divisional games left. So the Redskins are in a position to make some noise, because the easiest way to move up the standings within the division is to play your competitors. So I would agree with you. And then if you look at Dallas, Dallas has a lot of room that they need to make up just to make things interesting. So to put some distance between yourself and Washington would give the Giants a little bit more wiggle room, and I think give them some flexibility and set the tone moving forward, especially when they get into AFC games, which, you know, in comparison to the NFC East games, may not seem as important. But you know what, John? When you have four teams separated by two games, I would say AFC games are just as important as NFC games, because a loss here, a loss there, all of a sudden we're going to have a lot of teams at the top of the standings.
And Lance, as we move forward here, the one thing that's clear with the Redskins, as goes Kirk Cousins, as goes the Washington Redskins, a team that in prior seasons were a run-first, pounded-with-Alfred-Morris type of team, really have not taken that identity so far this year. You know, people made a big deal about Bill Callahan heading to the Redskins to be their offensive line coach, be one of the better running attacks in the league. It simply has not materialized that way. They had a great first week of the year where Jones and Morris, I think they rushed for nearly 200 yards. They had a great game against the Saints where they combined for nearly 200 yards. Yeah. But if you take those two games out of the picture, they struggled to rush for even 3 yards per carry in a lot of these games.
Yeah, the last six games, just once, the Redskins, as a team, not just the individuals, Alfred Morris and Matt Jones, have averaged over 2.6 yards per carry. So, John, it's really been a 180. When we saw the Redskins in week three, they were the number one rushing attack in the NFL, mainly because they got off to a good start, as you noted. And then since then, as a result of injuries to the offensive line, injuries to the running backs, Alfred Morris is dealing with a rib injury that he re-aggravated the last game. Matt Jones has had ball protection issues, a number of fumbles on the season. And I mentioned the offensive line. They lost their starting center, Corey Lichtensteiger. He's out with a pinched nerve. He's on short-term IR, not going to play this week, so the game of musical chairs, as I love, plays out in Washington. You move one guy to center, you move another guy to tackle. That eats into the continuity of the offensive line. So that's a big reason, John, why they haven't been able to run the ball as effective as they did early in the season. That's another reason why pass protection hasn't been where it should be. So Kirk Cousins is put in a precarious situation, and more often than not, it's led to some turnovers.
And in the games where he has turned the ball over, the Redskins have not won. In the games where he has not thrown an interception, the Redskins have won all those games. And it's really been a hot and cold, off and on type of seasons for Kirk Cousins. Some weeks, like against the New Orleans Saints, where I think he might have had a perfect quarterback rating in that game, where he completed 80% of his passes, 300 yards, a bunch of touchdowns. He was great. Then you have other games, like the game against the Giants earlier in the year, where he's a turnover machine.
Well, he's been solid at home, so that at least helps his cause as they're going to be hosting the Giants. This is the stat that jumps out to me, and this emphasizes your point, John. 9 touchdowns, no interceptions in the 4 wins. for the Washington Redskins. Kirk Cousins, clean football. In the losses, he has 6 touchdowns and all 10 of his interceptions. And the majority of those games clearly happened on the road. Big disparity. That's why taking away the football, which has been a strong point for the Giants, they're number one in the NFL, tied with the Panthers, 23 takeaways, that needs to continue. And there's no reason why they can't make Kirk Cousins uncomfortable. I think the pass rush has improved over the last few weeks with the return of JPP. They're coming off a season-high 3-sack performance. You're getting another banged-up offensive line for the second straight game. And you combine that with the fact that Prince Amukamara has returned. He had an interception in the first game against the Washington Redskins. That's a nice mix heading into this contest.
And you mentioned the disparity between their success at home and on the road. So far this year at home, they've only lost one game to the Miami Dolphins at their season opener, 17-10.
And that was a close affair.
And they lost another close affair in Atlanta in overtime, 25-19. On the road this year, the Redskins are 0-5. And they've struggled. Now, again, some of those teams are tough opponents. They had to play in Carolina. They had to play in New England. Those are very tough games to win. I mentioned the game in Atlanta, and then they played in New York against both New York teams. So none of those games easy, but the Redskins have been far, far better at home, and they've won and lost some very tight games. I would expect this game this weekend to be another one of those tight contests where we don't know who's the winner until you get deep into that fourth quarter.
Well, it's similar to what we've been discussing, John, with respect to the Giants. You know, what I've emphasized, at least in the first 10 games, regardless of the results, 5 wins, 5 losses, Giants have been in every single game, with the exception of the Eagles contest. You look at the Redskins, I think you brought up a good point. A number of the losses that you read off, at Atlanta, it's a walk-off pick 6 for the Falcons. The receiver slips, Kirk Cousins throws the ball, and that leads to a game-winning touchdown. The Philadelphia Eagles game, the Redskins won by 3. They made the first Giants game rather interesting, at least late. The Rams, they beat up. The Bucs, they won because they came back from a 24-point deficit in the second half. New England, turnovers killed them in that contest. I mean, the blink of an eye, the Patriots jumped out by 2 touchdowns. The Saints, they beat up. Carolina, it was a 14-14 game for the majority of the first half. Then the turnovers came back to haunt them. That's why we can't emphasize enough. Washington, ball security goes hand-in-hand with wins and losses with this team. Yet they're going up against one of the most opportunistic defenses in the National Football League.
The Redskins are minus 5. The Giants are plus double digits. So that's a big difference in the success of these two teams over the course of this year. I want to touch on a couple other players for the Redskins. And everyone knows about Pierre Garçon. Everyone knows about DeSean Jackson, who's back and appears to be healthy. A hamstring kind of dogged him the first 6 or 7 games of the year. Jordan Reed had a good game against the Giants in the first week. But here are a couple players, Lance, that have actually played pretty well this year that Giant fans might not know. I want to start with Chris Thompson, who's really their third running back. Doesn't carry the ball a lot, but he has been a very good receiver out of the backfield. 29 catches on the year, more than 200 yards and a touchdown. And that's even with him missing a few games because of injury. So that's a player that could be a factor if they can get him one-on-one against those Giants linebackers.
Yeah, he did most of his damage even in that first game, if you go back to against the Giants as a receiver, more so than on the ground. The Giants did a nice job containing the Washington Redskins rushing attack. Matt Jones and Alfred Morris didn't do much of anything. And Jones, speaking of fumbles, had a key fumble, a costly fumble, I should say, as the Redskins were about to get into the end zone. That led to one of their turnovers. So Thompson is a security blanket for Kirk Cousins, John. He's somebody that he could dump off to. And I think he's had a little bit more room to operate now that DeSean Jackson's back. It's not as if DeSean Jackson's return has opened up the offense, but now you have to at least account for his speed. He'll take you vertical, so therefore some of the underneath routes are a little bit more workable as a result of having Chris Thompson in the mix.
The other player I want to talk about is Jamison Crowder, a player that not a lot of fans have heard of, but if you look at his numbers, they're actually very, very similar to that of Pierre Garçon. Crowder has 43 catches compared to Garçon's 46, 407 yards compared to Garçon's 473. So he's been a pretty effective receiver for them. He also does some punt return stuff for them as well. So Crowder is somebody the Giants will have to keep an eye on.
Well, he's been another reliable weapon, mainly because if you look at the numbers, John, you know, Kirk Cousins hasn't aired things out where he's throwing 20 to 25, 30 yards down the field. If you just look at the number of plays that they've had through the air for 20-plus yards, it's 26, which is not necessarily a lot. It's essentially, you know, in terms of the average, about 2 per game. And that's part of not having DeSean Jackson in the mix. So as a result, the Crowders of the world, the Garçons of the world, those are the guys that run routes within the 10-yard range on top of Jordan Reed. Now, all of a sudden, Jackson's back. You still need to make sure you focus in on some of those wide receivers you threw out because, you know, 10 yards here, 10 yards there, that enables them to move the chains.
Now, defensively for the Redskins, they've been around the league average in a lot of categories this year. One area in which they've really struggled, however, Lance, has been stopping the run. They're third to last, which is 30th in the league, in both yards allowed per carry and yards allowed per game on the ground. So if there's ever a game where this Giants rushing attack should be able to get going, and get downhill and, you know, get 4 yards per carry, they should be able to do it against Washington this week.
Well, we've seen flashes, John, over the last few weeks with the Giants. They had two games where they finally got over 100 yards after the first half of the season that had been a struggle. You know, Washington is not necessarily known for its linebacking core as it's been known in previous years, so that's, I think, part of the reason why they haven't been as consistent in terms of stopping the run. Let's see how this mixture of running backs plays out in these final six games. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, I could see Darkwood now getting back to full health, him performing with a 1-2 punch with Jennings, and maybe that builds a little bit more continuity. But, you know, let's also not forget the fact that we don't know what type of shape this offensive line is going to be in for the Giants I'm talking about entering this weekend. Justin Pugh still going through concussion protocol, and then Weston Richburg dealing with an ankle injury. Who knows whether both of them, one of them, neither of them are going to suit up. You know, the Giants, fortunately, have some decent backups. Dallas Reynolds is a veteran center who can certainly be plugged in, but I think that could very well dictate the tone of the running game this weekend.
Absolutely right, and you look at the Redskins' secondary. This is where they really struggled last season. They gave up a ton of big plays. They've been a little bit better this year in the back end. Deshaun Goldston leads their team in tackles with 79. Bashaud Breeland has been better in his second season with the Redskins. So the Giants, however, should have some chances to make some plays down the field. Eli played extremely well against the Redskins in their first matchup this year.
Well, he protected the football. That was a big key. And as you mentioned, they got a lot of turnovers, so that shortened the field. I mean, think about it. Prince's interception early in that game, John, essentially gave the Giants the ball in the red zone. So that was one golden opportunity. Then, remember, Rashad Jennings gets a block punt, and that also leads to more points. So that's where the Giants capitalized, and that goes back to the Redskins' knack for making mental mistakes, which has come back to haunt them. If the Giants could be opportunistic again, I think this game plays right into their hands. If they're not as opportunistic, that's where things could get interesting with a Washington team because, you know, as you noted, John, Kirk Cousins, he's not really an in-between quarterback. He's either red-hot blazing where
really
he's
good.
Lights out.
Yeah.
And we've seen that throughout the season
the
against
Saints
the Bucks and the Saints.
Yeah.
Both of those games jump out to me. Throws were on the money, guys are making plays, or it's the opposite end of the spectrum where he's flustered, he doesn't get the protection, there's no running game, and he's just trying to take chances down the field or in the intermediate range, and he winds up turning the football over. So which Kirk Cousins is going to show up, the Giants' defense is certainly going to dictate that.
All right, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. Anything with the New York Football Giants, anything around the National Football League, or anything else you want to talk about, we can talk about that too. Lance is a little chippy today. I'm a little chippy, so we can have a lot of fun.
Yes, we don't want to necessarily have the conversation we had before we went on the air.
That was NBA related.
Correct.
Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, let's see if I can get the callers up here at 201-939-4513. You guys have done a great job on the phones, by the way, all year long. You've been with us. You've been hanging with us no matter the week, no matter the day. You've done a great job of filling up those phone lines. And, Lance, a couple of things I want to get to before we get to the calls in just a second. And Twitter conversation was on this a little bit yesterday. Jason Pierre-Paul did speak to the media yesterday, and we should touch on these two news items before we do get to your calls. Very excited about the pass rush the rest of the year. And if you look at the matchups the Giants have, the Jets, their offensive line's a little banged up. Nick Mangold's not the same. Ryan Fitzpatrick is prone to getting sacked and turning it over. We talked about Kirk Cousins. And, you know, moving forward, there are some opponents on this schedule. And Ryan Tannehill's another guy in the Dolphins' offensive line has struggled. That you can create some pressure, and that could turn into turnovers, which turns into victories.
Well, as I mentioned, the pass rush, John, has progressively improved. And it's not just how many sacks the Giants have had. It's a matter of the quarterback hits. It's JPP opening opportunities for other players. You would assume, as he brushes off the rust and continues to get his legs back underneath him, that there will be that continuation in terms of progress. So that bodes very well for the Giants, plus on top of some of the favorable matchups that you threw out. However, with that being said, let's at least just put things in perspective here, being cautiously optimistic. The Giants have had also favorable matchups. Now, this was before JPP came back, and they haven't necessarily gotten a great deal of quarterback hits and sacks. So you have to be careful at least to put things in perspective from that standpoint. But if the Giants continue to get pressure and Spags continues to move around these pieces, I think that they'll certainly have the ability to create frustration for the opposition. And Tannehill has had years where, you know, he's been sacked 50-some-odd times, John. The Dolphins' offensive line has improved, but, you know, they don't have necessarily a great track record. The Jets have been turnover-prone lately. Their defense hasn't been as efficient as we've seen in the early stages of the season. You're also going to get tested by a Carolina defensive front that's been very strong, as well as a Minnesota front. But the Giants, they don't make up the schedule. The next upcoming opponents, I think, are very favorable matchups from a defensive standpoint. As you mentioned, it looks good on paper. It's a matter of them taking advantage of that.
The other piece of news from yesterday, looks like JT Thomas is back. Lance mentioned Prince before, and Larry Donnell back on the practice field as well. So is Uwani Unga. So hopefully all four of those guys will be able to play and contribute this week. We'll keep an eye on Richburg. You know, ankles, you know, if it's a high ankle, who knows? It might be a couple weeks still. Justin Pugh with the concussion protocol, you never know how that goes down. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. All right, here we go. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Albert in Arizona first. Albert, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Albert, what's up? How are you?
Not too shabby. How about you guys?
Doing great.
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
All right. Well, Landon Collins. We traded up to get him, and I think the guy is great, but I really do believe that we need to get that guy on the jugs machine. You know, I know he's a defensive back, but I think he needs to partner up with Odell on the jugs machine, try to get those interceptions, because I believe that there's been some key drops, you know, not only against the Patriots, but some other games where they could have been key momentum changers. I know he got one. I'm not sure if it was with the Saints, but, you know, prior to that, there's been some missed opportunities, and I know that you touched base on this not too long ago. Earlier, where missed opportunities can come to haunt us later in the game.
No, Albert,
so
look.
I believe that go ahead.
No, Albert, I think you're 100% right. Landon Collins has let a couple interceptions that he should have caught, gotten through his hands. There was an issue with that in the offseason, too, in some of the practices we've seen. And they do work with him on that jugs machine every day. They're trying to get his hands better, and they're trying to make him a better catcher of the football in those types of situations. So I think you're right on the money. I think you're correct. It's something he's working on and he's trying to get better at.
Well, that's awesome, you know, and then that's just going to be an addition to our takeaways, you know. We're plus, I don't know, what is it, 13, 14, I lost count now.
Plus 13.
But I think, you know, missed opportunities as well as the whole defensive side. I think we could be a little bit more. This is a new season, six games. I'm very excited. I think the whole team, what we got right now is what we have, and I think it's enough.
Well, right, I would agree with you, Albert. I mean, you're certainly not going to find anybody out on the market at this point, no matter what team you are. So the Giants have JPP back. I think that's the biggest addition to this defense. They're getting guys back to full health.
Prince.
Correct. A couple of linebackers, as you mentioned. And you hope that everybody remains healthy for the final stretch, and that's going to provide the depth for this team.
Thanks for the call, Albert. We appreciate it. And it's going to help. And look, and as these younger guys on defense play more, I think you hope that they improve. Jay Bromley gets better. Maybe DeMonte Moore gives you something. I would say Uwani Unga, but I don't think Jasper Brinkley's given back that job the way he's played the last couple of weeks. So I hope some of the young guys and then some of the returning veterans healthier, play improves. You get some improvement on defense that way because, and we've talked about this before, Lance. I forget what caller said this a couple weeks ago, and they were right. You know, takeaways are great when you get them. But the question remains whether or not taking the football away is a truly repeatable skill. Is it individual circumstance that, you know, randomly or coincidentally happens from week to week where the Giants have gotten these opportunities, or is it something else? You know, I've seen, you know, teams and with the Giants over the years, oh, we're practicing takeaways every day. We're focusing on them. We know we need them, and they can't get them. Now, this year's just been different. They've been getting them. Can they repeat on that same pace and get, you know, up to 40 odd takeaways this year throughout the rest of the season. That's something we'll have to wait and see and find out. But the easier way is to not give up so many yards, and that's where you want to improve on defense.
Absolutely. You don't want to have that bend but don't break type of philosophy.
Don't bend.
Yeah, absolutely. Meaning straight line, be consistent, and so forth. Though the takeaways have benefited them because they've come at the right times. But I agree with you. You can't go into a game regardless of the law of average. And the law of average has boded very well for the Giants because clearly they're averaging about two takeaways a game. They've only had two games this season where they've had no takeaways. So that's been very consistent. But you can't go in saying, all right, don't worry, guys, we're going to get two or three today. Because we're going up against a quarterback that gives away the football. I think if you put yourself in a position to thrive that way, you'll get them, but you can't just all of a sudden assume that. And I think if you look at the 23 takeaways, John, some of them were, hey, the ball bounced the Giants' way, or a player was in the right place at the right time. Other times, DRC pick six, that's good anticipation.
Oh, that's ball
hawk skills.
Oh, there have been a lot of plays in Dominic Rogers' Camardi, you're right, Lance, the ones that jump out to me the most, where he sets the quarterback up, the plays against the Cowboys and Matt Castle, makes a great play on the ball. Other times, it's simply bad passes by opposing quarterbacks. But look, the Giants are obviously playing very hard. They swarm to the football. Guys hustle. That has a lot to do with it. They go after the football. They look to strip it. That has something to do with it, and you hope it can continue over the course of the year.
Well, and real quickly, John, before we go back to the phones, and that's part of also having a good defense. It's guys that you can give up a play, but you still pursue the football. And, for example, I'm going to use a play that didn't go in the direction of the Giants, but the Malcolm Butler play on Odell Beckham is an example of, hey, you gave up the catch, but you continue to play it out, because you never know if you're going to get the ball, the hand on the ball, and so forth.
Here's a better one, and I think it was Tremaine McBride. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Week one against Dallas, Cole Beasley catches that ball down the sideline, turns upfield, has about a 35-yard gain. I think it was Tremaine McBride from behind stripped the ball away from
Beasley. Is that the one that DRC picks up and returns for a touchdown you're talking about, or is that a separate play?
I think it might be a different play. I remember there was the play where Beasley caught a deep pass down the field, ran up the sideline, he got stripped from behind. The Giants recovered and started running it back.
I think that may have been the DRC touchdown.
It might have
been. If I recall. I think it was McBride, and I want to say Casillas was in the vicinity, and then DRC picked it up and ran it back for a score.
I think that was the play you're talking about. You could absolutely be right.
Yeah.
But that's the type of hustle play that helps create those
absolutely.
Type of opportunities. Gerald is down in Virginia. Gerald, what's going on, pal?
Good morning, guys. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Whatever y'all say is absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. And also that the staff that y'all put on the air for the duty shows, y'all do a great job.
We appreciate that.
Excellent
Thanks,
job.
Thank you.
But I want to talk about the Giants offense. And right, really, I feel like this. Since they got Akeem Nicks back, he should help them in the red zone, regardless of how many plays he get. But I don't think the teams that they're going to face the rest of the year can keep up with that offense. The defense will get better. I know it will. But I'm saying the offense, what they're playing now, I don't think there's a defense out there. Maybe the Carolina Panthers might be a little scary, but I don't think no other offense can keep up with them the rest of the year.
Well, Gerald, I think you do have a couple good defenses left on the schedule. I know the Jets had some issues against the Texans, but they still have a pretty strong personnel group on the defensive side of the ball if Darrell Revis is healthy. You mentioned the Panthers. We know they have a great defense.
Vikings.
And that's the other team I was going to mention. I think the Vikings have a very strong defense too, Gerald. They really slowed down the Packer offense this past week. They have good young players up front. They have some veterans back there in the defensive backfield. I would not sleep on the Vikings defense.
Well, you know why that is, because William Joseph's over there. And he came from the Giants.
You mean Linval Joseph.
Linval Joseph, yeah.
Linval Joseph.
Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, you're probably absolutely right. But I really don't think that if the Giants play their Giants football, I don't really think the offense can keep up with them. Because I know the defense will get better with JPP back and Prince is back and some of the other guys. We just got to get that play call in the last 2 or 3 minutes down. That's all.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Gerald, and I agree with you. I think the offense is certainly clicking and puts strain on any defense you go up against. But here's something to at least keep in mind. Four of the six opponents the Giants have remaining on the schedule are ranked in the top 14 in terms of points per game allowed. Minnesota is third in the NFL. They're allowing 18.4 points per game. Carolina is fifth, allowing 19.1. You move down, the Jets are 11th at 20.8. And then, who was the other team that I threw?
Eagles.
Maybe I miscounted.
They're 17th.
Well, that was out of the top 15. So, I'm sorry, there's three. I stand corrected. Three in the top half of the league, essentially. Philadelphia is obviously in the bottom half at 17.
Two in the top five.
Correct. Two in the top five. Minnesota and Carolina, and then the Jets just outside the top 10.
That's pretty good.
And points per game, to me, is a better indicator than perhaps how many yards you're giving up per game. How many times are you letting an opponent get on the scoreboard?
Well, go to yards. I'm curious to see what yards say. Because remember, points can sometimes be skewed if you take a look at yards per game right there. If your special teams gives up points, if your offense puts other teams in great position, that can skew points sometimes, too. So I like to look at both to see where
Carolina's
other
top
teams
five.
Stand.
The Jets are top five. That's 4 and 5, respectively.
And the Vikings are ninth.
Vikings are ninth.
There you go. So and that's three in the top ten. I think it's fair to say the Giants will play three top ten defenses the rest of the year, and two probably that you would consider to be top five.
And that's half your schedule remaining. So that's why it's one of the toughest schedules in the NFL.
And by the way, I was curious to look, because I haven't looked at these offensive rankings in a while. The Giants right now, and I think you probably know the answer to this, Lance, but I'll ask
you. Why don't you ask? Yeah.
In total offense, they rank 14th in the league at 357 yards per game. Now, this is where we talk about points and yards being skewed. The Giants have gotten so many takeaways that it puts their offense into good position to score, or they get defensive touchdowns, things of that nature. So while the Giants are ranked 14th in terms of yards per game, which is right in the middle of the league at 357. Points per game, they're fourth best in the league at 27 points per game. So that's where you get the difference there. And like on defense, they're middle of the road in terms of points allowed, but they're in the bottom of the league in terms of yards per allowed.
Well, and
all that has to do with the takeaways. All of that has to do with the takeaways.
Well, and in addition to the takeaways, they've also gotten touchdowns from their defense, John, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which has boosted
Absolutely.
The numbers. I mean, those takeaways are great, but they're also taking the takeaways and getting into the end zone. They have three defensive touchdowns on the season.
Yeah, and again, a couple other have gotten them inside the red zone and put their offense in great position to score. And by the way, we were right. It was 6-3. Dallas in that first game. Tremaine McBride stripped Beasley from behind.
And then
Dominic Rogers-Cromartie picked it up 57 yards for the touchdown.
So there you go.
That turned the game around.
Game-changing play.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Marco is up in Connecticut. Marco, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Marco.
You, Marco.
Six games to go, all important. Big division games sprinkled in there. And, I'm excited, I'm nervous, and I really, really want this to work out for Coach Coughlin and this group. And for whatever it's worth, I think they should all be kept together. And I think the core group that has been put together over the last couple of years is very strong. I'd like to get your opinion on a couple thoughts here.
Sure.
I'm not going to go back in detail about the Patriots game, but I think overall, I think there is something to take out of that. It's amazing, too. Amazing to me. I don't know if you guys have thought about this. How closely the Giants have played them, going back to the end of 2007. And it's not even like a huge rivalry in the NFL, but it's like when they get together, these games have been amazing. And I'm hoping like someday there's a 30 for 30 just on the
Giants-Patriots
games. It's kind of a respective rivalry, but it's just kind of crept out of nowhere. It's pretty cool.
Well, Marco, the thing about it, excuse me, and I think what a lot of fans don't realize, and they don't want to, all we heard last week was how, people complained Tom Coughlin screwed up the time management end of the game, which, we disagree with. But are the Giants even in that game against New England without Tom Coughlin and his coaching staff putting the game plan together that they put together? I don't think so.
Unreal. Unreal. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And, but it doesn't get talked about because what happens at the end of the game there. But that goes into my next point. I do think there's I don't want to grab from any of the teams that went on to win it all. But there's similarities right now, I think, to me, to the 2011 team, the way they finished. If you remember, besides Pierre Paul, who just kind of burst on the scene that year, but Justin Tuck was a shell of himself. The pass rush really wasn't there without GPP. And the running game was worse in the league. Now, I think the running game will continue to kind of be what it is. I'm hoping one guy emerges out of the group or two guys. Vereen's got his specialized role. But I think what you could see here from this team is the pass rush is going to get better. They're picking up steam with Ayers and GPP. And the running game is going to get better, too. That's the kind of team I see. I don't really see a 2007. It's more of a 2011 team for whatever it's worth. Do you guys see anything like that?
Now, here's to me what made the 2011 team land so unique. They were the best, and Eli Manning was the main reason for this, the best fourth quarter team offensively I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning got the ball in the fourth quarter that year. They were scoring touchdowns. And I think what separates that 2011 team, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, Lance, from the team this year, is that this year the Giants team, especially in the first half of this year at least, has struggled in the fourth quarter and closing out games and giving up late plays and things of that nature. You know, people blame the defense, and they've been at fault too, but the offense also has to put any of these games away in the fourth quarter. And I think that's what separates this team from 2011, which really the reason they were what they were is because of their fourth quarter performance that year.
Well, closing out games. Yeah, I think that is a big difference maker. You look at some of those tight games, the Cowboys game, they had a comeback. The first Cowboys game I'm talking about where JPP had the blocked field goal, and then the Jets game, some key plays. Mark Sanchez fumbles it late in the contest. The Victor Cruz play, which was a little bit earlier in the game, but a lot of key plays that determine the outcomes of the game. So I think that's a difference. And, you know, Marco, you brought up the running game. If you look at 2011, the running game wasn't great throughout the course of the season, but late in the season, with Bradshaw and Jacobs, it started to all of a sudden set the tone. Now, you are indicating that you believe in the final six games it could be something similar to that. And as I mentioned, if Darkwin Jennings provide that 1-2 punch, I could see that happening. But, you know, I think Bradshaw and Jacobs, you had a little bit more on the resume. You knew what they were going to bring to the table. I think it's more of a wait-and-see approach with the two backs that we have right now in the mix. Could be similar, but I still need to see what happens maybe over these next two games.
I agree, Lance. I think there's going to be spots where we can go to the running game because there's some fresh legs on this team. And getting down where some of these physical teams like Carolina and Minnesota and the Jets, I'm excited about what's going to happen there. Just quickly, and then I'll let you guys go. Akeem Nicks, there's no expectations for him to be his old self, you know. But for him, you know, he gets to really flip the script on what fans, the taste that they were kind of left with. Now he's not the star on this team. He's not expected to be the star on this team, but if he could come in and just kind of, hey, listen, we need a big third down. We're looking for a big catch. Who knows what happens in these big division games? I would be very happy for him, and I know that's kind of like the note that he could go out on here with Giants fans. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think it's a win-win. At least it can be a win-win because for Nicks, as you mentioned, given some of the injuries he's had to go through, you know, he can all of a sudden help the Giants make a playoff push here. He could be that third down guy. He can maybe provide an extra punch in the red zone. And for the Giants, it's a low-risk, high-reward. You already have your nucleus at wide receiver. You have Beckham, you have Randall, you have Dwayne Harris who has stepped up. If Nicks provides consistency, hey, that's a fourth option. And it's a guy that has experience with Eli Manning. So all it does is it bolsters your depth chart.
Yeah, Marco, you're right. And Giant fans, at least the idea that I got from Giant fans when he left, Lance, I apologize for interrupting, was that he kind of quit. And he didn't want to play, and he didn't put a full effort forth. And you're right. I think if he, and again, I don't think that was the case necessarily, but I think he has a chance to turn around some of those perceptions if he comes back and helps the team win some games this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, go Giants one game at a time, and I'll be talking to you guys soon.
Thank you, Marco.
Appreciate it.
The other thing to me that separates, and it's funny he brought up Akeem Nicks, that separates the 2011 Giants from this year, and, you know, we've said this a million times, we hate making these comparisons. There's different teams, it's different season, everything's
personnel
different.
And so forth.
They had the two big wide receivers. They had Cruz and Nicks, both in their prime. As good as Beckham is, I don't think they have that second guy that's on that level quite on the offensive side of the ball.
Randall has made some plays, but doesn't have necessarily the same resume in terms of consistency as some of those other guys. But I think that slowly, little by little, we are seeing a little bit more depth being showcased. For example, Dwayne Harris has been a pleasant surprise in terms of his consistency as a receiver. I mean, we knew he could be a receiver, John, but I don't know if everybody anticipated that, you know, he could go out there and he was going to get 5 to 6 receptions a game in the ballpark of 65 to 70 yards. And he's gotten into the end zone 4 times, too, which is more so than he's ever done as a Dallas Cowboy.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick up your contest, pick up your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. This guy must have been a little annoyed by my derogatory comment about his one-liner.
Oh, yesterday you're talking about.
And that is David Rochester. David, how are you, pal?
All right, Johnny. It's all right. I get it. It was, I thought it was funny, but whatever.
Bring the A material, Dave. We haven't heard from you in a while. What do you got for us?
Well, nothing. I just no jokes today.
Oh, really?
Wanted to call. Yeah. Well, I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I just wanted to wish you guys a wonderful Thanksgiving for you and your family.
Same to you.
We appreciate that, Dave. Well, I want to ask you what you think of Paul DiTino Thanksgiving is all about.
Well, I did find out what DiTino means in Italian. It means giant orange forehead. But I think it's the same color as the turkey, so it should be, you know, it's probably, you know, some, it's probably very mellow. You know, he likes the leg, probably dark meat, you know, or maybe the breast on occasion. But, you know, it's probably mellow. We should bring cameras there someday.
Well, Dave, what I would think, I agree. I think the drumstick's the perfect thing for DiTino because he could take that with him on his walk. So he can walk down the street in town on Thanksgiving while eating the big turkey drumstick.
So I could also see him with like a bowl of potatoes too as he's rolling down the sidewalk.
Potatoes while he's walking.
Well, he could have some potatoes during the course of Thanksgiving. Yes.
Yeah. Is DiTino a gravy guy or no gravy guy?
You know what?
I'm saying gravy.
I think probably, but you know what? I've never seen him eat gravy here at the facility. And here's the thing too. And I was having this conversation with Bob Popper earlier today. Not to get too far off topic, but a lot of times. The Italian culture on Thanksgiving, they eat so much food before they actually get to the turkey. They don't eat a lot of the turkey. Like they have a lot of the antipasti. Mm-hmm. Then they have soup. Then they have the pasta. And then when you finally get to the Thanksgiving turkey, people are full already because they've gone off on everything before that. So I'm not exactly sure how the DiTino Thanksgiving works, but I got to imagine it's probably entertaining.
Well, he's probably watching a lot of football, too.
I was just going to say that, yes. There's got to be film study worked
him,
into the Thanksgiving schedule.
Yeah, I got to imagine that while the family's trying to spend quality time with their father on Thanksgiving, he's locked in to Lions-Eagles at 12:30, charting how many missed blocks Kelsey has at center for Philadelphia.
Well, and it's busy this Thanksgiving
there,
because there's two NFC
East games. You guys hang out socially like that, or just when you're on the road?
Just when we're on the road, and usually he's walking on the road, and I'm always afraid that he's going to go on a walk on one of these road trips and never come back. So I don't want to be with him on these walks because he goes to places where he doesn't know where he's walking. He can walk into the wrong area, and then all of a sudden we never see him ever again. So, no. Thankfully, we do not hang out with Paul DiTino socially.
Johnny, the best story you ever said, I let you go, is when you're sitting next to him on the plane. And he just keeps talking. Imagine if you guys were going to London for a game, you had to sit next to DiTino the whole time.
I tell you what, and it's funny. I was talking to Chris Robertson, who's one of our guys that works upstairs here in marketing, and he goes, you know, I think we were traveling back from the Saint game, right? And Chris had to sit next to DiTino.
Oh,
it's the worst seat on the plane. He goes, he sits down, he looks at him, and he says to me, John, I could tell. The only thing Paul wanted to do for the next 2.5 hours was talk to me about the game. So I sit down, I put on my Bose noise-canceling headphones, and I don't take them off for 2.5 hours. I think he tried to talk to me, but I'm not even sure if he did because I refused to make eye contact or take off my headphones.
Chris may be the smartest man in this organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's probably rubbing suntan lotion on himself the whole time. It's probably a hoot.
All right, Dave. We appreciate it, my friend. Dave. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Sounds good.
Okay, that was enough of a Paul DiTino detour. It was fun, though.
Well, I was actually disappointed because he started off saying that he wasn't going to joke around, yet we had, based on our screening sheet here, that he wanted to talk about Paul DiTino.
I know.
Well, that's
why I led him into that direction.
Yes. No, he took the bait, and he delivered to a certain degree.
So what's a Lance Mendel Thanksgiving like?
Oh, football and turkey.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's anything special about that. Deli, though, is involved in my Thanksgiving.
How so?
Well, we like to work in, you know, pastrami and salami
nice.
All that other type
like
of stuff.
It.
In addition to the turkey, obviously.
That's
you got to have the turkey and all the other.
What's your favorite side?
See, my family, that's why I brought up potatoes. Sweet potatoes is a big part of that. So that's probably my favorite side.
Do you like full sweet potatoes or do you mash the sweet potatoes?
No, actually, circular sweet potatoes that are sweetened. And it's my
get a little brown sugar
special
and butter in there?
Recipe, yes. Well, I can't reveal the special recipe. It's only part of the family.
It is
a specialty in terms of sweet potatoes.
I like a nice sweet potato.
Yes, that is by far the favorite side dish.
Charlie, Portland, Maine. What's going on, Chuckles?
Hey, gentlemen. Happy holidays to both.
Same to you, Charlie.
Hey, what Italians usually do, we stuff the turkey with lasagna and then we put it in the oven.
That actually sounds kind of awesome.
That's a very filling meal.
Yes,
I
would imagine.
Yes. I don't think you need any side dishes for that one.
No, not really. Hey, I just got a couple of things. One thing is, I don't understand why, I mean, our safeties are the worst safeties in the NFL right now, missing tackles. Merriweather's got 14, and Collins has got 13, and rating-wise, Football Focus rates Collins the worst in the NFL. Pretty, if he's not the worst, he's next to the worst. I don't understand why we don't sit one of these guys at least and play a deal, not deal.
Dahl. But hold on, Charlie, I'll let you continue. Craig Dahl played a huge role in that Patriots game.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Landon Collins actually got sat down about halfway through game for a few plays. So
I mean, he was on Gronkowski basically the whole game.
Yeah, so honestly, Charlie, I think you are seeing a rotation of the three guys. I think Merriweather had his playing time cut a couple weeks ago. We saw Dahl for him. We saw Collins sit a little bit last week. So I do think you are seeing the Giants trying to figure out a combination that works at that spot.
Yeah, well, we need to because it's not working right now, especially since Collins and Merriweather are supposed to be the big hitters, in-box safeties, and we're missing tackles like crazy. So, and you know they can't cover anybody, that's for sure. So, yeah, I hope they are. And I don't understand why we ever let Stevie Brown go. We signed him, and then a day later he's gone. I mean, he's a free safety. We needed a free safety. And I don't know why they let him go or why they even brought him in, if that was the point. But
well,
anyway,
let's say, Charlie, by the way, real quick, just so you have it here, there were, I think this only counts defensive snaps. I believe there were 72 defensive snaps against the New England Patriots. Of those 72, Landon Collins played 55, Merriweather played 62, and Craig Dahl played 49. So that's
there.
How they split up between the three safeties against the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, they brought Taylor back, so hopefully he might see a little bit of action.
Charlie, before I let you continue, you brought up Stevie Brown. I'm actually a little disappointed because, normally you have such a knack for finding a guy on the market, or at least five of them, maybe six or seven, and just throwing them out here on the program. You've been very quiet on that front.
Yeah.
You haven't named anybody throughout the course of this season
that
you've been monitoring.
I've rather enjoyed that. And now,
well, of course, but callers have a reputation to maintain on this program.
Charlie's trying to change his reputation, and I applaud him for that.
I don't know if I want to applaud him for anything.
Jerry Reese has passed by so many players on free agency it's so hard
Truckles.
To keep up with it. There's nobody now, of course, but, there was guys that we could have had, that's okay. That's what we got. And the only other thing I'm concerned about is the O-line. We have no depth. If Pugh is going to be out for a while, and it sounds like it's kind of serious, whatever's going on with him, I don't know what's going on with
Neither
him.
Neither do we at this point.
Yeah, and I don't think our medical staff does either, but that's not a surprise. But in Richburg, he's got a high ankle sprain. That always takes 4 weeks, maybe less, maybe longer. Depends on how bad it is. So where's our backups? We got Reynolds. He was throwing lollipops to Eli in his snaps last week against New England. Did you see how high those things were going?
No.
Almost went into his mouth.
No, they did. But look,
the terminology that he comes up with.
Eli caught the snaps, and I thought Dallas Reynolds did a pretty good job in the time he was in the game.
Yeah, but what happens if something happens to him? Who's our backup center?
They would probably end up, Pugh is a guy that could possibly play center, but if he's out, that's a really good question.
That is a good question.
Who would be the next guy? I'm not sure about that, Charlie. I'll have to figure it out.
McDermott, who's a rookie from Miami. That's all we got.
If he's not on the active roster for a game, you can't turn to him.
They might move him up there. That's what I'm saying, but he's a rookie. It's just like we have no depth. And to me, that's scary. John Jerry does a good job. We can't run block anyway, so just put him in there. So if Pugh's out, at least Jerry can definitely, hold up. But center-wise, we got a big problem right now.
I would think you'd move a guard as the emergency center. I don't know off the top of my head how much experience, for example, like a guy like Schwartz or Jerry has at center. But to me, based on just logic, I would want a guard to move over there. I think that it's easier to go from guard to center than necessarily tackle to center.
Yeah, but center's so important. You got to line up all the people.
I agree with you. Yeah,
the calls, and you got to be in sync with Eli.
Well, but Charlie, that's why. Based on your hypothetical, I'd want a veteran in that position.
Yeah,
a veteran guard, I think, would be suitable to play center.
I hope they've been practicing this bye week. Somebody as an emergency backup, because who knows? Who knows how long Richburg's going to be out. But anyway, I think we should beat Washington. We should beat them, and. I think our D is gonna have to show up big time in this game, and I think they will because we're getting a lot of people back, which is really gonna help. So, but I'm a little worried about the O-line. I've been worried about the O-line all year anyway, but especially now with no really quality backups, to especially at center. But anyway, guys, you guys have a great holiday.
You
and,
as well, Charlie.
We'll catch you on the other side.
Appreciate
Thanks,
the phone call.
Appreciate it.
And it's really too early to speculate in terms of the offensive line at this point. I think tomorrow we'll have a better indication, John, where Richburg is, where Pugh is. And then that'll obviously give them an opportunity in the event that some of them can't practice, John, that they'll have an opportunity to move guys around so that they'll have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to practice a little bit in case they need to move some guys at the different spots.
That's actually a good question. I don't know who the emergency center would be, though.
But wouldn't it sound right to move a veteran guard in an emergency situation?
I can't imagine John Jerry snapping the ball and then moving. He's too big. John Jerry's like 6'6". I can't imagine a guy at 6'6 moving in there at center. I don't see it.
Schwartz is a big guy, too. I agree with you.
It's odd. Honestly, I don't know who it would be. I think that's something we should investigate on Wednesday. Hopefully, we'll have an answer.
I wonder, does Bobby Hart have experience at center? Because he's moved around. I know he's played tackle, yeah. I mean, because he's a young guy.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Charlie, you stumped us. Congratulations, buddy. By the way, two notes on the Eagles. Sam Bradford passed concussion protocol, so we'll see if he can play on Thursday. Ryan Matthews did not, so it looks like he might still be out.
Because they have
Eagles
a quick turnaround, they got the Thursday game.
Correct. 201-939-4513. A very big Thanksgiving, by the way, for Giant fans. Not just fun with the family and food, a little turkey time, but you also have a lot of important football games with the Cowboys and
two
the Eagles
NFCs.
Both playing in the afternoon. And then, by the way, the Packers play at night. That could be a wild card situation at some point, too. So something to keep an eye on. Let's go to Gregory in Fort Worth, Texas. Gregory, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Gregory, how are you, pal?
Good. Great, man. Hey, I just heard one of your callers had mentioned being Italian for Thanksgiving, and I'm in Fort Worth. You know, I'm circle the wagons. It's the EPIO Maron. There's nobody here but me. And another caller was talking about Paul, the orange forehead. More, I think accurately, it would be Lo Zuccone, which would be the pumpkin head with an Italian philosopher. I like that better.
I like that, too. What's the name?
Lo Zuccone. It means the pumpkin head.
Got it. Wow. I will put that in the repertoire.
Him, yeah.
It's a wasted life. Hey, you know, Lance had mentioned that you can't really depend on the takeovers and takeaways, and it's, you know, it's not something you can plan for. But isn't that, I mean, you can't really plan or count on the number of sacks, the number of receptions. I mean, they're all intangible. You just have to, you know, practice it, I would think. And this is just an interesting question that you had raised. I thought, it's really not something that's going to be there every week. It's just what you make it, like any other part of the game.
Right.
Well, but you could put yourself in the right position, Gregory. That's the key, as you mentioned.
You're right, yeah.
But the irony of it is that a lot of teams will get turnovers when they get other teams in the third and long from stopping the run. Then they rush the quarterback. The Giants haven't exactly put themselves in those situations either, which is why it's such a strange dichotomy this year with the fact they've been able to get all these turnovers without getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
That has been impressive.
Well, no, you're right. There's no argument that. It's just my saying, what part of the game can you depend on or not game plan for? And my last point, if I may, was living in Fort Worth, I know a few Giants fans, there's a few of us here, and but there's this odd mentality in the Dallas-Fort Worth. I've never seen it in any other city where they win one week and they were going to the Super Bowl, they lose, and it's all over for a generation. And it's almost like a Jedi mind trick that Jerry plays. You know, we're going to win the Super Bowl on the press. Everybody, we're going to win the Super Bowl. You know, Tony's the savior. Even Michael Irvin on did you see Irvin on ESPN going nuts about Tony? You know, I don't know how much Jerry Jones still pays Michael, but he's still a huge cheerleader for this team. But it's like that down to grocery clerks. Nothing, you know, it's the one odd mentality that it's never changed here.
That is odd. I mean, honestly, I see it here, though, too. I mean, the tenor of calls, Gregory, that we get on a Monday after a win compared to the Monday after a loss, I mean, is just miles apart. Even last week when the Giants lost to the Patriots, but they played them close, for the most part, except for a couple of people complaining about the time management, we got a lot of positive calls. Oh, this is going to be just like 2007. This is going to be just like 2011. You go back just 2 weeks before that, after the Saints game, people wanted to fire everybody. They're talking about who they want as their head coach in 2016. So I think
I'm sorry to hear that.
Unfortunately,
I kind of like to think of Jerry as the Emperor from Star Wars. You know, they play at the Death Star, and so you're ruining you're bursting my bubble, but I'll accept it. It's all right.
Well, hi, Gregory. I appreciate
Gregory.
The call,
appreciate
thank
the phone call, you. And I think Gregory brought up the point that I've emphasized time and time again, John. The narrative in the National Football League, unlike any other sport at the professional level, changes week to week.
Well, it's only 16 games. That's
correct. But it fluctuates so much where sometimes we put too much stock into one game, not enough stock into another game. So, for example, he was touching on the Cowboys, the narrative surrounding Dallas. Romo comes back. They win. Tony Romo on the field 3-0 as the Cowboys quarterback, 0-7 without him. But if they lose to the Carolina Panthers – the conversation is going to now change.
Season over. Should you
that,
fire Jason
correct.
Garrett?
Should they bench Romo? Should
Absolutely.
They protect the health and well-being of the team, get a good draft pick?
Do you cut Greg Hardy to save money?
Absolutely.
All that sort of stuff.
So that's why I think you got to see a group and period of games before you make bold statements and bold predictions. You have to see some substance as opposed to just overreact to one game here or there.
Perfect example. I was listening on Bob Pappas and Shannon Sharpe's Sirius show in the morning. A caller calls up and he says, if the Cowboys run the table and they go 9-0 this year with Tony Romo as a starting quarterback, should he be in the MVP conversation? It's the perfect example.
Well, everybody loves to throw out those hypotheticals now. It's fun and it's enjoyable when, you know, we got to get to that point before we at least give some consideration.
I do enjoy, though, the Jerry Jones Emperor from Star Wars comparison. You know, the Emperor, the Cowboy Stadium looks very much like the Death Star. Just saying. Looks very much like it. Emperor has all these grand plans, wants to, you know, make everything the biggest and the baddest, just like Jerry Jones, and it didn't work out so well for the Emperor in the end, did it?
There
got
you
thrown
go.
Down See, a huge
The parallels
shaft.
To other cultural entities.
No, I'm not sure if Jerry Jones can shoot lightning out of his fingers, though. I don't think he can do that.
He may believe that, but that's all other story.
All right, let's go to Alan in Washington, D.C. Alan, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How's everything on in D.C., Alan? Will you be at the game on Sunday?
I will be there, sir. I will be there early,
nice.
And I will be wearing my Victor Cruz jersey. I don't care if he's not playing. I'm still a huge Victor Cruz guy. I hope, you know, he'll join us next year. This is a division game, guys, so, you know, there's no excuses in this. You know, we got to put our best game forward. You know, a lot of people, I've heard a lot of callers in the past, and I don't really agree with them. They take the Skins very lightly, and I think it's because we, you know, I guess you could say we've had their number, per se, you know, a lot of the times. But they're a tough team, and let's not forget, like, I think our worst loss this season was against the Eagles, and they beat the Eagles. And so, you know.
And by the way,
the
Alan, one other thing. Remember, the Giants lost to the Saints. The Redskins destroyed the Saints. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, the Giants are in great position. They control their own destiny. That all changes if they lose to Washington this week. And they're not going to just walk in there, play a B-level game, and beat them. They're going to have to play well to beat the Redskins. And I think you hit it right on the head. We couldn't agree more. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean these. I mean, they know us so well. I mean, like, you know, they're within the division. They're, you know, Chip Kelly, I'm not a big fan of what he's done over there in Philly and everything. But you know, with the Skins, they've been a little bit more consistent than that team. But I think we're gonna have it's gonna be a battle, especially here in D.C. They have a great fan base over there, and they make it real tough on the visiting team. I look forward to the matchup between JPP. Is it Trent Williams?
Yeah, Trent Williams.
Well, but Trent Williams is hurt. Who knows if he's going to play? Suffered a knee injury.
Oh, well, I hope.
Was that serious?
Well, we got to see what the practice schedule looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna be tested. I mean, I don't know about Pugh and those guys who are like, you know, we'll see situation. But I don't know if you guys touched on this yet, but is Prince playing?
Yes, Prince is full going practice. He's been medically cleared. He'll go on Sunday.
Thank you so much. We're gonna need it. I mean, the one guy who's due on the Redskins for a big game is DeSean Jackson, and that's. You know, even as an Eagle or as a Skin, he's the one guy I hate the most. So I hope we do a good job against him and he doesn't have his breakout game against us.
Thank you, Alan.
Let's go Giants. And, you know, are you guys going to be at the game?
Of course. I will be here. Lance will be holding things down. I will be rather in Washington. Lance will be back in the studio holding it down in New York.
All right, well, I hope to see you guys, and go Giants.
All right, Alan.
Appreciate the phone call. I thought he brought up a great point about, hey, when you get to the divisional games, you might as well throw the stats and the trends out the window. I mean, that's been well documented over the course of the time. And I want to bring up an example, actually, last season, John, if you recall. Dallas gets beat up by Philly on Thanksgiving. So the Eagles take control of the NFC East last season. That Dallas winds up winning the second matchup a few weeks later. They played each other, I think, in the span of 4 weeks. But what also hurt Philly's postseason chances last season, matchup with the Washington Redskins. It was a Saturday game.
That's a great point.
DeSean Jackson had a huge game, really ripped apart that Eagles secondary. So it just goes to show you, you know, just when you overlook an opponent, but if he's got a good track record against you, he's always extremely dangerous. And the Redskins, while sometimes mathematically they've been out of the division race, they always seem to shake things up late. And you pointed out on yesterday's show that Rex Grossman game. And, you know, we're not here to compare what happened to years past, but it's to show the trend that late season divisional games can get very interesting, especially if a mistake is made by either team.
And the minute you think you control something, you don't. And you have to stick with it. You cannot. And again, we're not implying that we've sensed the team is looking past the Redskins. I have not sensed that at all. But the sense you get some fans is, it's Washington. What, the 5 straight wins against Washington, I think, dating back a couple of years, something like that.
They have had a good stretch, yeah.
A really good stretch.
And they've had a good stretch against Kirk Cousins, specifically.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to bring up, too, real quick, and he mentioned DeSean Jackson. There are some players with fan bases that just scar them for life. I feel like DeSean Jackson will forever hold, like, ownership of a scar for Giant fans that will never, ever heal.
That Eagles game.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it was the punt return, yes, but yeah. Before that, he had a couple deep passes, he showboats,
he made
dances.
A lot of big plays, yeah.
He's one of those guys, and I think LeSean McCoy falls into that category, too, where Giant fans just, like, waiting for them to do something to win the game.
Well, there are some players in the NFL, it's not just within the NFC East, when they go up against a specific team,
yeah.
There's just something about that player. He elevates his game. He has a knack for finding holes in the defense and so forth.
Do you remember Burris against the Eagles?
Yeah.
He used to kill.
They had no answer for
no.
him. Correct. That's another perfect example. Yeah. And I'm sure if we track divisional play, there's one player that probably has a feast at the expense of another division rival.
No
Always
question
tends
about
to
it.
Happen.
Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Final call of the show is Mike in New Jersey. And, Mike, I thought this would be one of the first topics I got today, but it ended up being the last one. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well.
I was just curious. Do you think, considering the Giants are kind of have a lot of injuries at the linebacker position, do you think they would sign Quentin Couples, who just got cut from the Jets?
I think it's a guy you look at. Obviously, he's very talented. He's a former first-round pick. Now, the Jets tried to shoehorn him as a 4-3 player in college into a 3-4 system in the pros, which I think hurt him a little bit. He wasn't that hand-in-the-dirt lineman anymore. They stood him up as a pass rusher. I think they used him as a 3-4 defensive end, too, which doesn't really fit his skill set. That being said, one thing to keep in mind with Couples, the Jets already picked up his fifth-year option, which is something like $6.5 million, $7 million, something like that. So if you sign him and then he gets injured before the end of the year, his contract's insured for that amount of money, so you would have to pay him that amount of money in his fifth year. So there is some level of risk of bringing him in and claiming him off waivers. And by the way, you will have to claim him off waivers. I doubt he'll be unclaimed by anybody. So that's something to keep in mind when you talk about Quentin Couples. And then who did you take playing time away from? Would you rather have Quentin Couples play than DeMontre Moore? Because you're probably not going to play both. It's going to be one or the other.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate the phone call.
Again, not saying it's a terrible idea. I think you look at somebody like that. But the Giants look at everybody that's out there. You do your due diligence. But I think there are, you know, mitigating factors involved too.
Well, and the other thing to take into consideration, remember, even if you hypothetically brought in a player like that late in the season, how quickly can he adjust to the new scheme and so forth? You know, it may
take
a player like that.
10 days.
Well, but JPP, to me, is in a unique category compared to perhaps somebody else like Couples. Yeah.
All right, Lance. Excellent job as always, my friend.
Good stuff.
So you are in Friday. No, you're in next Monday or
next
Tuesday.
Monday,
what
correct.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, okay,
next
so
Monday.
Next Monday is not when you're doing the shift.
No, correct. Okay, we'll do the switcheroo right. a little bit later
so
on.
So here's the schedule the rest of the week. Tomorrow it will be Anita Marks with David Deal. They're doing a little bit of a switch from what I understand, I think. Then Thursday we're off. No show on Thanksgiving. Then on Friday it'll be me and Jeff Fields if he gets his voice back. That's why he wasn't with us yesterday. And then we'll be back on our normal schedule next week. Getting ready for the Miami Dolphins. Though the Monday of the Dolphin week, I just thought about this. I can't work for you that day because I'm going to be in Miami.
No, but that's the Friday. You're not going to Miami on that Friday.
No, but I'll be there on the Monday. So you will have
no,
to
No, the
do
Monday
the show.
I'm fine, though.
You're good on the Monday.
Yeah, the Monday's not a problem.
As
yeah.
we figure out our schedule.
You're mixing
yeah,
around
that.
Weeks. After
I don't
weeks
have anything written down
well,
in front of me.
I texted
give me
you
a break.
The dates. What
I know.
Said?
It's written
we're
down in my
you're
office.
Making
I don't
this
have
more convoluted
any.
Than
Shut
it
up.
Needs to be.
Lance Meadow, John Schmelk. See, I told you we'd get chippy at some point.
Unreal.
Big Blue Kickoff Live. Thanks for joining us.
Have a good
one. See you tomorrow on Giants.com, everybody. Have a great Tuesday.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.